Love music. Live sport with Lewis Stewart on Rock Sport Radio.
Good evening, Wednesday evening, Rock Sport Radio. It's time for your weekly fix on all things rugby with me, Lewis Stewart, and this week's edition of The Lineout. Just back from Edinburgh, where earlier today, Gregor Townsend announced his team to face Italy at the weekend. Five changes from the one that lost at last weekend in Dublin. He says a mixture of reasons, but we will be hearing from him later in the programme to explain exactly what those reasons were. But I can give you a little bit of preview that it was a mixture of players becoming available, some tactical issues, and he is claiming it's really not so much a reaction to events in Ireland, which I must admit were quite incredibly disappointing. I came back feeling that it was a game where Scotland had done a large amount of the stuff they needed to do to at least compete in the game, possibly even win it, but they just made too many individual mistakes at the absolutely key moments in the game. They probably matched Ireland for about 78 minutes of the match, but just at the decisive moments, in a game of moments, they made the mistakes and Ireland didn't. You think back that you had Hugh Jones through, all he had to do was give the ball to Stuart Hogg, try was certain. Stuart Hogg through, all he had to do was get the ball to Blair Kinghorn, try was certain. Peter Horn through, Blair Kinghorn again, another try certain. You also look at a couple of more difficult chances. There was the offload from Stuart Hogg to Blair Kinghorn. There was a 3-on-1 on the outside and they turned the wrong way. It's those tiny, tiny little decisions, as those mistakes in the moment that seemed to be costing Scotland. And it was a different set of mistakes this time, but it was still those mistakes in the moment that have been costing them, just like they did in Cardiff, just like they did in Twickenham last season, just like they did in Fiji in the summer. Now, I've got to admit that Ireland did miss some points as well, but nowhere near as many as Scotland did. And at least twice, when they managed to get the ball to or over the Scotland line but couldn't get a try, they converted the attacking position into a score anyway. So, without any apologies, I'm going to start the programme with reaction to that game, starting with Gregor Townsend, the head coach, and his reaction to those butchered chances.
Look, I thought the basic skills were pretty good in a number of areas. Tackling was outstanding. Our contact work, clearing contact when we had the ball was outstanding. To create those opportunities needs some passing skills and realignment. But obviously a couple of missed opportunities when we did get there. And sometimes that's what the defender does. I thought Rob Carney did really well when Stuart went through. Just step back when Stuart was about to pass. And Stuart finishes them off in every training session. But we all make errors. And we certainly played some outstanding rugby at times today. We caused a very good side problems through the set piece, through the defence and through what we did in attack, and just obviously disappointed we're sitting here with not one more, two more or even three more tries on the scoreboard, which would have made it a very interesting game going the last 10 minutes. We're very proud of the way the team played, and there's a realisation that we've got more work to do. We're, I don't know, a couple of years or 3 or 4 years behind Ireland in terms of what they've done and achieved and their experiences over the last few years, and we're going to make sure that we have, when we have these experiences that are tough, that it goes into our work to improve. We'll play Ireland next year in the Six Nations and we'll play them in 18 months in the World Cup, and we've got to make sure that we're a better team the next two times we play them.
Gregor Townsend determined to see the positives and nothing but the positives, but however much he talks a good story, the fact is there were flaws and it is his job to fix them. So how does he plan to do that?
Yeah, look, the first job is causing opposition problems when they normally are able to dictate their possession, and we did that. We knew every ruck was going to be tough for them, and you could tell it was. We turned them over a number of times. I think our scrum got better and better, really strong in the second half. Our line-out defence was very good, so that was pleasing. Creating opportunities is the first part, and then finishing them off is the second part when you have the ball. And we did create a number of opportunities. The more we're in those positions, the more it becomes second nature for our players to score.
The fact is, though, they lost by 27 points in Cardiff and 20 in Dublin. Is there any comparison between the two?
Like, that was night and day compared to Cardiff. Like, that was a team performance right from the start, that we were committed, focused, we were taking the game to the opposition and kept going right to the end. Our fitness was outstanding again. It's a shame that Tim, stretching over for a try, we didn't get 7 points at the end, and because the way the players stuck to their task defensively and getting the ball back and going to Ireland was great to see. Doesn't really, whether it's 20 points or one point, we've lost the game. So that's what we're obviously upset about. That was a much closer game. Sometimes you play badly and you get away with two or three point defeat. We played well, and we obviously didn't take our opportunities. And it doesn't matter to us whether it's 1 point or 20 points. What matters to us was the performance and the effort from the players. And we know there's enough in there to have put that game much closer. And obviously when you have three clear-cut chances, those could be 21 points. And Ireland's going off an intercept, it could be a different game. It wasn't, and that's down to us. But we're miles ahead of where that performance was, miles ahead of the one in Cardiff. It might sound daft because we lost 4-1, but that mentality, the way we played, the way we defended, all the bits of detail in our game, apart from the finishing, was what we need to do to win away from home. And we caused a very good side a lot of problems today. And we ask a lot from our players, but from the performance today, they delivered most of what we want out of an away performance.
Gregor Townsend, resolutely optimistic in the face of another away defeat. To be fair, Joe Schmidt, the Ireland coach, didn't fundamentally disagree with a lot of what Townsend said.
I have a sense it was a bit of a one-school game. It was a 20-point result in a one-school game because they really probably butchered a couple of really good chances. I think the line breaks, I think we made twice as many line breaks as they did, so I don't think the result should tip the other way, but I do think they were very close to getting right away a couple of times. Obviously getting the intercept, it was something that we had looked at and we did feel was an opportunity, so it wasn't suddenly something that sprang out. Jacob knew if he tucked and waited that they might throw that long ball, as they did last week. And Hugh Jones picked it up, but Jonathan Joseph could potentially have done the same thing. We always do try to keep a lot of variety in our game. And, there was even early in the game there, I think we had a penalty advantage and Keith Hughes almost got that one that went across field. So you've got to be able to keep that balance, because a team like Scotland works so hard. They're very hard to break down. So you can't just have one means. You've got to be quite broad in how you attack really good teams. And it's hard to find bad teams in the Six Nations.
Joe Schmidt suggesting it was actually a much closer game than the scoreboard suggested. But was he talking about just the play in general, or was he thinking about individual moments in the game that made the difference?
One, they got a little bit of space behind to pick that ball up and then got away with it. They broke us down the right-hand touch at one stage, and I think it was Peter Horn put it across one of his players to Blair Kinghorn and came off the fingertips. I thought they were a couple of really good chances for them. We managed to scramble one time when Stuart Hogg half got through the tackle and offloaded it out the back of his hand. He's very, very skillful, and you can't think that you've got him, because you need to make sure you get to the people around him as well. And he was in incredible danger the whole time. So when you add up those three opportunities, that's why I said I thought it felt to me watching it, this is a one-score game, but it was nice to have that scoreboard buffer that we had of that 20-point margin. We maybe could have done slightly better when they scored out wide, but you know, the other ones, Stuart Hogg came through the middle, and the other one was a ball that went in behind and they picked it up. So I think, just like everyone, they play with a bit of variety, and when you try to over-predict where a team are going to go, you're going to get yourself into trouble. But you know, at the same time, you do want a bit of prediction so that you can plan exactly where you need to be. And I thought that was part of Jacob picking up that intercept. I thought he read it very well. And I was surprised they threw it after last week, where the last game against Wales, where he picked up a very similar try.
Joe Smith, surprised at the way Scotland at least approached some parts of it. As he said, he had spotted Scotland's tendency to throw those missed passes. Jacob Stockdale had already proved that he was alert to those missed passes. And yet Scotland went ahead and delivered one anyway. It's not a particularly good thing to see when you're trying to hope the team will win, but it's the sort of thing, I suppose, that maybe the coaches and the players will be working on ahead of this week's game in Italy. Just incidentally, you'll have heard there Joe Smith a bit hoarse. I probably ought to fill you in on exactly what happened there. He says he was trying to shout above the crowd in the warm-up before the game and suddenly felt his vocal cords going. It just shows the sort of atmosphere you get at Dublin when you've got that sort of noise level and they haven't even started the match yet. I'm going for a quick ad break now. I'll be back afterwards with much better outlook on a different part of Scottish rugby.
There are some things in life you treasure forever and take great pride in, as well as being a potential investment. Bob Harper is Scotland's premier rock culture artist, creating original and stunning portraits of true rock icons. From Bowie to Blondie and Presley to Prince, Bob's paintings are displayed in private collections around the world and remain unique in both style and technique, with each portrait featuring song lyrics by the musician. To see Bob's work, visit rocksportradio.co.uk, and there's free shipping for all orders for Rock Sport Radio listeners. Bob Harper Art, in association with Rock Sport Radio, painting the world's favourite rock icons.
Well, that was an interesting game, don't you think?
It certainly was, and I really didn't think it would go that far.
It did seem a little risky to me.
Exactly. Who would wear that out in public?
Boggles the mind, Jim.
Maybe that team should have gone to Only Sport.
Get your kits for every club, in every league, from juniors to schools to college.
With a massive range of quality kits, with great value, flexible service and extremely qualified staff.
Only Sport in Hillington, your team partner. See onlysportltd.co.uk.
It's predictable, but unfortunately, utility costs will probably go up. That means taking more money out of your business. Annoying, right? Well, Utility Alliance could help manage your business energy needs and control your costs. Your costs might even go down. Build a more sustainable and energy-efficient business and drive down your operational costs. Call Utility Alliance on 0131 202 5467 and ask the business energy experts.
It's back by public demand. Your story, your songs, your club. Celtic the Musical returns to the Pavilion Theatre Glasgow for 4 weeks only, from Wednesday 18th April to Saturday 12th May. It's the must-see show for Celtic fans of all ages. Tickets are already selling fast, so book now for Celtic the Musical on 0141 332 1846 or online at pavilionthatre.co.uk.
Thinking of a holiday? Well, this year, swap Largs for Lanzarote, Cardonald for California, or even Oban for Osaka. Go where you want to go. Our travel insurance could cover anyone up to 99 years old, even if you have a pre-existing medical condition. Call 01592 85 83 86 or visit ourtravelinsurance.co.uk. Insure Direct, helping make memories.
Love music. Live sport. The Lineout with Lewis Stewart on Rock Sport Radio.
Welcome back. Before we head on to other things, let's have a quick listen to Stuart Hogg, one of Scotland's star players, of course, and one of the leading players in this season's Six Nations, although he hasn't had the try-scoring form that he's had in recent years. He still leads the tournament in terms of metres gained. He's up there in terms of carries, in terms of defenders beaten. But you can't really argue with 368 metres with the ball. It's been a good tournament for him, but he is still a frustrated person. He knows that at least two occasions, one, he was on the receiving end of a mistake that cost a try. Once he caused a mistake that lost a try. And he has got to find ways of making sure that that sort of thing doesn't happen again.
You know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, that pass, I should have put Blair in the corner, but you know, we're very fortunate to get an opportunity straight away with a scrum penalty that we managed to score. So, but look, these things happen. The boys are aware, you know, individually that they made a mistake. But, you know, for us now, it's the chance to learn and improve, and hopefully if we get that situation again, we're not making the same mistakes. I think we've done incredibly well over the last couple of years. You know, it takes time to build up a good team, and as I say, we're getting there, but you know, we're nowhere near the finished article, and I'm actually really, really excited to see where this squad can go. You know, we've got some fantastic individuals, and we're playing well collectively as well. So, you know, for us, we've no excuses not to improve, and as I say, I'm very much excited to see how far we can go. Yeah, I think we've got a really exciting group of players, exciting group of coaches that, you know, absolutely love rugby. And everybody comes into training ready to rock and roll and want to learn and improve. And as I say, we're very much, you know, we're looking forward to seeing how far we can go. But there's a lot of hard work and a lot of effort that's going to need to be done to get us there. We possibly left 21, 28 points out there at the weekend, gifted them 14 potentially. So these little things, if we take that out of our game then and execute our game plan, then we're going to be winning games. But for me now, it's making sure we're not making the same mistakes week on week, and we're actually learning and improving and looking to come better.
Stuart Hogg not at all put off by the mistakes that Scotland made at the weekend, and looking forward optimistically to what they can achieve this coming weekend in Rome.
Yeah, I think we're just looking to get the win first and foremost. I think we know we're more than capable of going across to Rome and getting a good victory. So, you know, the focus for that starts this afternoon, and we're very much excited to head across. We know that we're more than capable of scoring tries, getting some good points on the board, but you know, it's not going to be easy. You know, we're playing international rugby. Italy are a quality team. They're always improving as well. So, you know, hostile crowd, it's going to be difficult for us, but if we concentrate and execute what we know we can, then you know, I'm more than confident we can get that win.
Not that Rome has always been a happy hunting ground for the Scots, who have lost 5 out of their 9 games there, and although they won the last 2, they had lost the 3 before that. So what is it that makes such a difficult place for Scotland to play?
I think, you know, defensively we probably stood back and allowed Italy to play. We've admired their play, and they've ended up scoring. As I say, they've got some cracking individuals there, and you just look at the fullback who scored 3 tries in the last 3 games. So, you know, that's one player we'll have to watch out for. But, you know, it's like every team at home, they're a different animal. And as I say, defensively we'll have to be on the money and take our opportunities in attack. If we do that, then we'll give ourselves every opportunity of winning.
One key has often been the performances of Hogg himself at fullback, who has been scoring tries for fun up until this season. So far, he hasn't touched down once, and if he doesn't get a try in Italy, it'll be the first time that he hasn't managed a single try throughout the Six Nations. I wondered how frustrating that must be for the player.
I've loved it. You know, obviously I've not made the breaks that everybody's used to, and then everybody thinks I'm having a stinker. But you know, for me, I'm fairly happy the way I'm playing. You know, I've done what I've had to do in the games, and as I say, I'm fairly happy how I'm going. Obviously, I'd love to be making these clean breaks, but Hugh Jones seems to be stealing them all off me. But no, I'm very much enjoying it and enjoying being part of this team. I think you can look at my performance in terms of, you know, if I've not had the ball for a while and they kick to me, then it's not trying to, you know, get an absolute belter of a line break or a try. It's doing the correct thing for the team, and I think that's something I've learned over the last few years, that there's a time and a place, and you know, if the boy, we try to keep the ball in play as much as we can, and the boys up front might be knackered at this point, so it's very much get the carrot in front of the donkey, as we say, by kicking game, and just being mature about the performances at the back. I'm very much a part of the leadership group and on-field decisions, and you know, everybody has a lot of experience within the squad now, so you just got to look at Finn and Greg at halfbacks, that, you know, they're decision makers, that and obviously backs with penalty decisions. So you know, it's fairly easy to stand at the back and just get on with my job. And the boys are playing incredibly well. We've got, you know, Gregor's very much attack focused, and you know, he'll analyse teams on opportunities we've got in attack, and you'll see that in the set piece plays that we try and execute, and you know, it gets our fast guys on the ball with time and space, and that's exactly what we want. So, and you can see we can get ourselves out of tricky situations as well. Look at Hugh Jones's second try, I think it was, against England. You know, there was a third phase part of that play, but you know, he's executed it incredibly well in the second phase and managed to score.
Stuart Hogg there, feeling quite happy about his more mature, he says, approach to the game. That's all well and good about the men out in Dublin, but any misery being felt around the Scottish camp was undoubtedly undone the following day when Scotland's women took to the field at Donnybrook and came home with a magnificent 15-12 win over the Irish. And if you haven't seen the clip of Chloe Rolley's solo try from her own end, I can only suggest that you hunt it out somewhere online and have a look at it. From the point of view of the players on the field, it must have been a fantastic experience. And I have on the line Lindsay Smith, the Scotland prop, who presumably was a distant spectator for most of it.
Yeah, a bit of a spectator, I suppose, in the first half. But it was a great game to be a part of. And the girls did a really good job in the first half. And then, obviously, the girls who came on off the bench added to that.
And it has been another season of solid, steady improvements for the women's team. This may have been your first win of the campaign, but all the other performances have been ones that show a great deal of promise. What do you think it's been that has brought that about?
Yeah, I think we've improved quite a bit from last season. I think this season got a bit more belief in the squad amongst ourselves. It's been a wee while since we've had a win in the Six Nations until last season, and I think until we'd actually posted a couple of wins, we needed that for our confidence. But I think building on last season and into this season, we've put in better performances each week, and we're finally rewarded with a win on Sunday there, which was pretty special.
And obviously we've been talking earlier in the programme about how the men struggled to win on the road. How important was it for your lot to that you have broken that monkey as well? You broke the monkey of the of winning any game last season. Now you've won in a place like Ireland. You must feel the sky is pretty much the limit.
Yeah, I think obviously winning any game in the Six Nations is important to us, whether that's at home or away, but obviously to get our first win away and of course to beat Ireland at home was really special for us. So obviously we're looking forward to Italy this weekend, and we're also aiming for another win.
It'll be tough though. The Italian women have they haven't had the worst campaign ever, and they have been fairly solid for the last couple of seasons, and on their home patch you'd expect them to be a reasonably efficient unit.
Oh yeah, I mean, this game will be, it'll be tough. I think it'll be quite tight, but I think if we stick to our processes and what we've been working on in training, putting into games in the last couple of matches, I'll be hoping for a win for us. I would definitely back us.
And so I can promise you that Shade isn't listening, so don't feel frightened about beating him up too much. But how much difference has Shade Munro made? I mean, he has come in and this team is light and day compared to the team he inherited.
Yeah, I mean, this is his third season now with us, and I've been involved for a few more seasons than that. And it's just a different atmosphere at training. He's obviously come from professional men's game, and brought in like different ways of training, etc. But we also, as a squad, we get more time together to train. And also a lot of the girls are supported by the BT Academy as well, which has helped. So we get more support with our training and physical therapy and other areas like that. So I think all of that combined has helped us kind of put us on the right road, and we're able to compete more now.
And when you talk about help with your training, I mean, are you looking at sort of professional trainers who sort of help you through all the gym stuff, or are you looking more at the medical and physiotherapy stuff or that sort of thing?
I mean, I think we've always had really good medical support, but I think it's just more regular now. We've got people who are in full-time positions now who are there to support us as players, and obviously all the other backroom staff that we have that make up our management team work really hard to support all of the team. I mean, not everyone's based in Scotland, so they've got a bit of work to do, you know, contacting players all the time. But I think we've got all the support that we need behind us, which helps the girls to concentrate on training.
And I'm kind of assuming that after a match like that at the weekend, then the celebrations must have been quite fun.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everyone was on cloud nine after the game, but a lot of us were back on the flight pretty soon after the game, back home, back to work, recovery, and then we're back into camp tomorrow. So it was quite a tight turnaround. So
no female repeats of the men's party after the game against England?
Not to that scale, no.
But, I suppose, given the number of shirts being taken off, probably not. That's a good thing. You look at this, though, how many wins do you think would actually count as a good Six Nations? Do you need to win this game against Italy for it to be a good Six Nations, or are you happy with the demonstration of progress you've already made?
I think, we were happy with the progress we've made, but that's not we're not going to stop there. We go into every game aiming to put in a better performance than we have done in the previous game, and obviously the ultimate goal is to win our game. But, you know, depends what the opposition play like, how we play like on the day. So, we'll be aiming for another win and doing everything that we can to get that. But, yeah, on the back of that, we are happy with the progress that we've made. But we're not content with that, and we're going to keep working harder to get more wins.
And finally, for me, that Chloe Rolley, that try, that what was the reaction of her teammates when you saw it?
Thank God it was Chloe that was never going to make it there. But yeah, Chloe did really well, pretty much full length of the pitch to score. And yeah, everyone was delighted, and delighted for her as well.
That's wonderful. Lindsay Smith, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
That was Lindsay Smith, the Scotland prop, still celebrating, I think, and only probably just about coming down from cloud nine after that magnificent win over Ireland at the weekend. It's the first time that they've won away from home in the current incarnation of the Women's Six Nations. It's also their first win against Ireland, a truly historic event and one to be celebrated. On the other side of the same coin, the under-20s also played over the weekend and they lost 35-20, and they are going to have a really tough job out in Italy this weekend. At the same time as they were playing, Italy were winning 18-7 in Wales, a place where Scotland lost 36-7. So it's going to be difficult for them to go out to Bari in Italy and beat a team that was good enough to beat the team that beat them. There are other games this Friday as well. The Club 15 is in action in the second leg of their fixture against Ireland. They're trailing by 3 points from the away section. So when they head down to Netherdale, They have everything to play for. There is also Edinburgh's rearranged fixture against Munster. The original was supposed to have been played a couple of weeks ago, but got hit by the snow. Edinburgh and Munster are both involved in European action later in the season, so they didn't have the luxury of being able to schedule it for the free weekends that clash with Europe. And they have playing it this weekend, which seems to be possibly a good time for Edinburgh, especially since it looks as though Gregor Townsend has been especially generous in releasing Edinburgh players back to the club after the after their performances for Scotland. Simon Bergen may very well be picked. Grant Gilchrist is certainly available. I'm not sure if he's going to be starting or not, but certainly, and they've got other players, Mark Bennett, people like that, who've been training with the Scotland squad and have been released to them. Richard Cockerell felt that it was a good time for them to be facing Munster.
The snow was... It is what it is, you know. But we had three big games. We've got a few guys with bumps and bruises, so a little break probably didn't hurt us too much. I mean, we've got a hell of a run in now to the end of the season to try and do something with the year. So, you know, Munster, Connacht away, then you're into Europe, and then obviously a running of Ulster Scarlets, and you know it's Glasgow. It's tough, isn't it? So we've got some big games to try and win. So we want to try and be in the playoffs. We've given ourselves the opportunity to be in the playoffs. Whether we're good enough to stay there, we've yet to see. But it'd be nice to get the Scotland boys back in, and that will really strengthen us around, you know, front row, and you know, Blair coming back into the back three gives us a real attacking threat. So look, we've got everything to play for. So we're looking forward to it.
Richard Cockerell, the Edinburgh head coach, looking forward to the game against Munster this weekend. He also, at the same time, had another announcement to make that after a great deal of speculation, he was able to confirm the future for John Hardy, the Scotland flanker, who you'll remember was brought into the World Cup team 3 years ago and was then signed by Edinburgh, has been an Edinburgh player ever since. But his contract is up at the end of this season, and Cockerell was in a position to reveal what is going to be happening at the end of his contract.
John won't be staying there. The same as lots of other guys. We've got some very good young guys coming through, and financially we need to spread our cost across the squad. Well, it's not even playing. It's getting value out of your budget. So we've got guys like Jamie Ritchie have done very well. Crosby coming through that both can play at seven and play there very well. And obviously Hamish, who's obviously the first choice for Scotland. So you add into that with Barkley coming in, who can play across the back row. Mata, Bradbury. Carmichael can play in the back row, so there's a lot of good players in that back row as well, and we need to get simple as we need to get value from the squad. So and also, as I've said from the start, we're trying to get a balance from forwards to backs, and making sure there's a balance across the squad. If we're going to compete, we've got to be competitive in the international periods and more competitive. We've done all right this season so far in that international window, but the better this team gets, I expect more guys to be taken from the national team. So it's trying to get a balance there as well. And if there's injuries, you start getting to two and three deep in your squad, and it really affects you.
Richard Cockerell, the Edinburgh head coach, talking about John Hardy initially and the reasons why he has decided not to offer him a new contract. You'll have picked up in the middle of all of that that he is denying absolutely that it had anything to do with the disciplinary action that Hardy faced earlier in the season and that got him a 3-month suspension. Rumour, and I can only put it down to rumour at the moment, I haven't got any firm facts, but rumour is that Hardy may very well be heading back to New Zealand. Now it's time for us to turn our attention fully to the game in Rome this coming weekend. It's never been a particularly easy place for Scotland to go. They have played 9 games in Rome, and they played before the Six Nations a game up in Treviso, which they also lost. Of the 9 they played in Rome, they've only won 4, they've lost 5. It's a hard place for Scotland to go, always has been. Even the wins, you remember Duncan Weir's last-second drop goal 4 years ago to win the match. It's a difficult, difficult place, and it's also a place where the players are put under an immense amount of pressure by the magnificent surroundings of the Stadio Olimpico. Dan McFarland, the Scotland forwards coach, has played at that sort of level and understands what it's like to play. And also, I asked him whether or not he feels that the pressure of playing in the Six Nations is different from the pressure of playing in other games, in other tournaments, where you're playing in front of that sort of passionate environment.
I think it does apply a different pressure. Why does it apply a different pressure? Okay, well, when you play in November, you're playing against teams that you don't play against normally, and obviously, in vice versa, they don't play against you normally. Okay, so when you're playing in the Six Nations, you're playing against teams that know you well, or at least know your players very well. And as a consequence, the margins are much smaller in there. The intensity of the competition, obviously, is different as well. You know, I still think that we've shown that we've played well under that intensity. So we had 2 marvellous wins at home. We've got a third game with an opportunity to go and have a win. You know, the Wales game was very disappointing. I don't think the game at the weekend reflected was a mirror image of the Wales game. I think we put in a performance in terms of intensity that could have had us in the game if it hadn't been for the fact that we didn't take our opportunities.
Dan McFarland feeling it was a game they could have won and maybe even should have done better in. But the fact remains that the official statistics issued after the game showed that Scotland gave away 62% of possession and 63% in territory, and it is very, very difficult to win a game with those sort of figures against you. McFarland again.
I would say it's certainly not impossible. There are possession isn't everything at all. Okay, that's, you know, Ireland play a possession game. Okay, New Zealand don't play a possession game, and they're the best team in the world. They take their opportunities. You'll find plenty of examples of New Zealand winning with less possession than the opposition. It's just because the fact that every time they get it, they score within one or two phases, because they can cut you to pieces. At the weekend, I think Ireland had a good chunk of the possession, but we had plenty to be able to do what we needed to do. We had the ball for over 18 minutes. The opposition against Ireland had been averaging between 13 and 14 minutes up until that point. So, you know, we had nearly a third more possession against Ireland than teams average over the last 3 games. So, you know, we had plenty of ball. It wasn't much less than we would normally get. A little bit less, but not much less. But we didn't make the most of it.
Part of the reason for that was that they lost 4 line-outs on their own throw. And that is very much McFarland's speciality.
I think from my role in terms of working on the line-out strategy, we haven't been as good in the Six Nations as we were in November. That's a learning for me. Perhaps a little bit of a different approach. We obviously play a style of rugby that likes to get the ball in fast. Okay, so the more you speed line-outs up, the less time you take over it. Okay, that is always going to take a reduction in accuracy. However, that's my job to make sure that we're up to the level we need to be. And, you know, everybody loses line-outs. You know, their line-out defence is really good. Devon Toner puts a lot of pressure on you. And he did a really good job this week in reading what we were going to be doing. That one line-out just before half-time was particularly disappointing, that one, because, you know, they lost two line-outs. But one of the ones that we lost was really costly in terms of the momentum. And that's just how it is. Like, you know, you can have 16 lineouts in a game and only lose one, but it could be the crucial one. You know, the others that we ended up losing weren't that important in the end, but from our point of view, or from my point of view, yeah, we got to do a better job.
Dan McFarland, the Scotland forwards coach there, latterly you'll have noticed fighting the Orium air conditioning. Orium is where he was when I did that interview with him. I'm good for another ad break now. We'll be back in a minute with a look at the teams and a chat, hopefully, with an Italian rugby journalist.
Radio, the trusted medium giving you access to the Rock Sport Radio audience, effectively your potential customers. It's straightforward, cost-effective, and available on and off-air. Whether it's adverts, sponsorship, promotions, or digital, we can build a bespoke campaign, including tailored production services, working with you to deliver the return on investment your marketing deserves and our experience provides. To access the Rock Sport Radio audience across Central Scotland, and for more information, go to rocksportradio.co.uk/advertising.
Celtic the Musical returns to the Pavilion Theatre Glasgow for 4 weeks only, from Wednesday 18th April to Saturday 12th May. Featuring the songs that have rung round Celtic Park over the years, it's the must-see show for Celtic fans of all ages. Remember, it's on for 4 weeks only. Don't miss it. Book now for Celtic the Musical on 0141 332 1846 or online at pavilionthatre.co.uk.
Thinking of a holiday? Well, this year, swap Largs for Lanzarote, Cardonald for California, or even Oban for Osaka. Go where you want to go. Our travel insurance could cover anyone up to 99 years old, even if you have a pre-existing medical condition. Call 01592 85 83 86 or visit ourtravelinsurance.co.uk. Insure Direct, helping make memories.
Well, that was an interesting game, don't you think?
It certainly was, and I really didn't think it would go that far.
It did seem a little risky to me.
Exactly. Who would wear that out in public?
Boggles the mind, Jim.
Maybe that team should have gone to Only Sport.
Get your kits for every club, in every league, from juniors to schools to college.
With a massive range of quality kits, with great value, flexible service and extremely qualified staff.
Only Sport in Hillington, your team partner. See onlysportltd.co.uk.
It's predictable, but unfortunately, utility costs will probably go up. That means taking more money out of your business. Annoying, right? Well, Utility Alliance could help manage your business energy needs and control your costs. Your costs might even go down. Build a more sustainable and energy-efficient business and drive down your operational costs. Call Utility Alliance on 0131 202 5467 and ask the business energy experts.
Love music. Live sport. The Lineout with Lewis Stewart on Rock Sport Radio.
Welcome back to the final section of the show. And before the break, I promised you that we were going to have a look at the game against Italy at the weekend. As I said before, Gregor Townsend announced the Scotland team to play today. Five changes from the side that lost in Ireland. Two in the front row with WP Nell and Fraser Brown coming back. One in the second row with Tim Swinson replacing Grant Gilchrist, and two in the backs. Tommy Seymour coming back from injury, and the aggressive approach of Nick Grigg being preferred to the playmaking skills of Peter Horn at centre. Italy will not announce their team until tomorrow, but to give me a flavour of what to expect and what's happening in Italian rugby, I have on the line Matteo Mangiarotti, an Italian rugby journalist who can fill me in on all the stuff that I don't know, which is an awful lot, about Italian rugby. How are you doing, Matteo?
Hi, Lewis. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Very well.
Thank you for having me.
Are you expecting Conor O'Shea to make many changes to the Italian team when he announced it tomorrow, given the way that they have been playing in this tournament?
To be honest with you, I would be surprised if Conor O'Shea, for the last game of the tournament, would make a lot, an awful lot of, of changes. Last week against Wales, he only changed one player, so it was Bisegni as a second centre, so an outside centre. He replaced Tommaso Boni, that basically has been dropped, and now he's been called back again in the group that he's preparing the last game again against Scotland. So I might be surprised to see a lot of changes. Maybe some minor changes, probably Hayward 13.
Right.
In the beginning, or Hayward 12, maybe. Of course, Castello looks like he recovered from the HIA that he forced him out of the game in Cardiff after 5 minutes of the game. Hayward played very well outside Tommaso Allan, so why not? Even if Castello is a good player, is a valuable player for O'Shea, for the O'Shea game plan, but still, Hayward is a good one as well. So.
And the Italian team's a bit odd at the moment in that you haven't been having that success at international level, but everything about what's going on in Italian rugby below that, the bubbling under, the Zebra performances, the Treviso performances, the under-20s performance, I've already talked about them beating Wales last week, all of those things suggest that actually Italian rugby is probably at long last going back up the way in the way that we thought it would do 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, and it's good to see that actually, to be honest with you, that in my opinion, the biggest problem of Italian rugby is consistency. So the last year we did, I would say very well, even if we have to, let's say, really to Italian rugby, was in 2013 when we finished fourth with two wins in the Six Nations. But then, if you think about it, it was sort of a one-off. Because the Italian team wasn't actually building on what they got, let's say, as a domestic rugby. It was a sort of a team on its own. But now with O'Shea, who is a sort of, officially is not, but actually the director of rugby, but it's more than, definitely more than a head coach, even if his title is still the head coach of Italian rugby, because he started working very hard with the two franchises, the two clubs in Pro 14. It's got Michael Bradley that is helping him a lot in this. Considering that, let's say, Zebre, I'm very surprised, let's say, focusing on them in particular, because Treviso, sometimes we take them for granted. We shouldn't, but Treviso, they got a tradition and they've always been, let's say, a club. While the Zebre has been created in, let's say, seven years ago after the Aironi experience. And they basically reached not to play again this year. And then in August, they made up team, and the way they are playing and the result they're getting is very surprising. So, as I said, yeah, the under-20, again, they won the first game in Wales in 5 years, because the last time they won a game was in 2014. And all in all, if you want to talk about, let's say, briefly about the two teams, this year they already, let's say, set new records for the two Italian clubs in Pro 14, so and on Pro 12 or Magnus League. So, yeah, we can say that we can see and we can say that something is boiling underneath. But as Conor O'Shea said last year, here at BC Murrayfield and during the press conference at the end of the game, he said that now is the time to make a painful decision, but decision that we can delay anymore. So it's time, even if maybe, I don't know, a lot of people won't be happy about that. It's time for us to actually take the last probably couple of steps.
But you look at the Italian team. Sorry, I thought. You look at that Italian team, though. The one thing they've been doing is they've been scoring tries for fun. They scored more tries in the tournament than Scotland have. Scotland have got 7, they've got 9. But what they have been doing is leaking tries. Is that the final bit of the jigsaw, do you think, that they've got to sort out their defence?
I would say so, yes. And focusing on the defence is kind of funny saying this, because at the launch of the Six Nations, I actually asked Conor O'Shea if he, and Sergio Parisse as well, if they thought that the game plan if they were actually playing. So it's a sort of a, let's call it a sparkling game plan. So they don't care that much about defense. And they try not to kick a lot. They try to keep possession. They try, even if they are in their own 22, they try to, let's say, gain, keep possession and gain territory, passing the ball and keeping the ball. If it would be something possible to make it in, let's say, in the Six Nations or play, having Italy, so the Italian team playing like Zagreb. And they were kind of not laughing at me, but saying, yeah, but we need to take care of our defense. And actually, it looks like it's a, yeah, I agree. Italy need to focus more on defense, which usually, back in the day, let's say, was our strength, maybe, strong point.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are building more, let's say, we are creating more. We are playing maybe when we got the chance and Italy, again, in Wales, they made a lot of mistakes. But if they got the chance to, as you said, build on the defense more, yeah, I think it might be the last thing to take care of.
Matteo, that's very good of you. Great talking to you as always. I will see you in Rome and we can talk about it more after the game. Thank you very much indeed. That was Matteo Mandiorotti, the Italian rugby journalist, who is predicting that Italy are back on their way up under the management of Conor O'Shea. As I said before, Gregor Townsend did make changes to the Scotland squad. I think let's hear from him explaining what those changes were all about and whether any of them were a reaction to the game in Dublin.
Partly because of who we're playing against and what we believe the challenges they present and things that we were looking to do in our game plan and the players that are suited to do that. Obviously, Tommy coming back from injury is a boost for us. He would have been selected in the wing last week. The availability of quality players. Richard Gray now has played two games, so he comes onto the bench and played well for the weekend for Toulouse. Xander has trained for 3 weeks with us, match fit, so we believe it's the right time to bring those players back in. And also management of energy, probably in the case of Stuart McInally. He's been outstanding for Scotland this Six Nations, and we believe this week we can make really good use of the bench, and we are obviously very confident that Fraser, what he's shown for us in training and last week's game, he can make a really good job at the beginning of the game. Tommy trained really well yesterday and today, so Tommy's an excellent player. He was in very good form before his injury, very experienced player for us, so to have him back in the squad is excellent, but with the knowledge that Blair has done really well now in two games, one off the bench and one starting, it gives us confidence to know that the bench can make a big impact. We're really excited about the bench this week, the pace, the energy they'll bring, so we're going to make sure that these players are used this weekend.
Gregor Townsend explaining some of the changes he made in the starting 15 against Italy. Scotland have won their last two games in Italy. I mentioned already the last-minute drop goal in 2014 by Duncan Weir, and they won fairly comfortably 2 years ago. And given that so far in this Six Nations, Italy have lost by an average score of 43 points to 16, you would think that probably the Scotland players were feeling pretty confident and maybe even a wee bit complacent as they head out there. Fraser Brown, one of those recalled to the side, disagrees completely.
I watched the game yesterday against Wales, and I thought for the first 40-50 minutes they were the better team on the pitch. You know, some of the tempo they were playing at, the pace, the speed of ball they were getting at the ruck. You know, they've got some really dangerous players as well. So I think it'll be more of the same. You know, they're still going to be very strong, particularly at line-out time, at line-out drive. So it's an area that we'll have to look at, especially after the weekend. The Italians will be very strong at set-piece like they always are, but I think what they've added to their game in the last year or two is some real tempo and you know, as I said, they've got some really dangerous players that can really, really hurt you if you're not in your game.
Fraser Brown, understanding what it is that the Italians can do and one of the reasons why they have a pretty decent home record when it comes to facing Scotland. I'm afraid, yet again, the clock has beaten us. It is time, or coming up to time, to head up to the top of the hour and the news. I'm heading off to Rome, and I will bring you reports from the match and reaction to what happens in Rome in my programme next week. Should be a belter. Looking forward to it, even although I'm told the weather is fairly foul with rain and thunderstorms. But for another week off the line out, good night.
Love music. Live sport. With Lewis Stewart on Rock Sport Radio.